CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
You know, it seems like everybody knows I feel so amazing. I must be crazy. That's one thing that you gotta know, and I won't be staying. Save your greatest moments. I don't wanna take too much time away. Making up my mind, what do I gotta say? I'm patient, waiting to say it. I can't.
You know, it seems like everybody knows I feel so amazing. I must be crazy. Then one thing that you gotta know is I won't be staying. Save your graces for me. I don't wanna take too much time away. Making up my mind, what I'm trying to say is I'm patient, waiting to say it.
Welcome to the Futurology Show, and it is the last time for 2016, and I'm very happy to say that we're going to end the year with an orgy, or a threesome, or I don't know, what are we doing?
I'm a bit concerned when he starts talking like this, B2.
So to clarify, we have B2, as always. Hello, Brett.
Hi, I'm back.
Okay, yeah, he went on a hiatus last week, but when he heard that we have B3 Bomber in the house, hello, Brett.
Boom.
How's it, B2?
And it's going to go wrong in 5, 4, 3. Yeah, look. It's been a year. I'm not going to break traditions. I'm going to do the app of the week, and then we can talk about it being a year. So this app, and I thought it was very apt for this time of the year, is In the Box.
Okay?
In the Box.
Okay. Not so out the box. The year of innovation being out of the box.
No. It's in the box. So this is the time when we do home renovations and we pack stuff and we move stuff and whatever. So this guy's built the coolest little app. The biggest problem when you go and buy boxes, and you have like 30 of these wonderful brown boxes, and then you stack them wherever you're stacking them, you don't know what's in them. You can write bedroom one, but you still don't know what's in it. So this guy's awesome. He's created this app called In the Box, and once you've downloaded it, step one, you generate QR codes. Mm-hmm. So it generates 1 to 40 with a number, okay, and you print them.
Yeah.
Step two, you scan the QR code. So now it says box one, you confirm, and then you take pictures of every single thing that you put in the box, and you can name them if you want, if you're that diligent. So basically, if you're looking for anything, you can search, and it will tell you what box it is, or you can just scan the QR code on the box, and it'll tell you what's inside.
It's like
inside
a virtual label maker.
Yeah,
but track everything.
But it's, I just thought it was very cool.
I don't like children stuff. I want to put, everything should just be digital anyway. So like, give it to me in the cloud and let me do it. Like, yeah, put a box.
I've got dibs on your MacBook.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And your headset.
The anti-Christmas thought, though.
Yes.
I mean, everybody wants to go spend stuff and everybody wants to go and buy the latest stuff, and we're all buying things, boxes, to put the things that we buy
in the box.
In the box.
Yes.
But like, how much stuff is actually being bought that isn't stuff? How much of it is like an intangible iTunes voucher? How much of it is a Netflix subscription or something that is more experience based? And like I was talking throughout the year, next year I'm sort of calling the age of experience linked to engagement. And it's going to be about things that isn't exactly tangible stuff. It's going to be things that give us experience. So the anti-Christmas idea of gifting could actually become something which is more virtual. So cool app, but I'm just throwing the philosophy crazy thought in there.
Sure.
Sorry. Early on in the show, just start breaking it.
So you've basically gone up. He's gone at the box straight away.
F the box, bro.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm gonna get my QR scanner out and scan.
I like the QR code scanner, and that was weird because we actually put that into a system for a warehouse management client.
That makes sense.
And it was great. Like, just have all these packs put into one big box, and then when they could track them, they just scan the outside of the box and everything inside.
Yeah.
But it's weird how like people are taking things that we just take for granted as sort of like platform developers or sort of we're problem solvers. So like, yes, we just need to get over that hoop to solve a problem. And some guys are taking these problem solving things that we've taken for granted and saying, well, that's an actual great app. And that's what I love about innovation. That's what I love about the movement of it all.
Okay, so you're not going in the box.
What is the name of the app? In the box.
In the box.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm using it at the moment. I'm picking up some stuff and shit into boxes. And
but you do need it. That is great to use of it.
Yeah. So
I use it on Christmas presents, surely, right?
Yeah. So instead of your name, you just QR code everybody.
No, but you're
is
not.
Is it mine, Daddy? I don't know. QR code scan? No, it isn't. It's Daddy's.
I'm thinking about it the other way. Your kid comes down and says, Katie, I'm not taking that shit, and you've got no chance of getting breakfast in bed now, bitch.
But I used to do that as well with Christmas.
Like, shake it, listen.
Yeah. That's mine. And I sort of make a pile of Brett's presence over there. And yeah.
Okay, so I'm moving past the box now.
QR code is lacquer.
Okay, so that was my app of the week. Nice. You don't have to use it. You don't have to like it. I just thought it was very nice. Facebook are back to their copycat ways as again. So Snapchat last week did group chat. Okay. Yep. And yesterday, Facebook Messenger now has group chat. You know, I mock them, but they are the biggest. So it's a case of like, oh, well, someone else is doing this, just include it. And they've actually learned. They're not buying it anymore. They're not just copying it. You know, I mean, they spend stupid money on stupid apps and things. So now they have group chat as well. Do you use Messenger?
I do.
Do you?
I use it to do my banking.
Dum, dum, dum. You got the sound.
I had to be prepared. Oh, and it always happens.
It goes twice. Well, it was so good you have to listen to it twice.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know B3 Bomber, his proper name is Brett St. Clair, hence the B3, because you're an honorary Brett. Well, we've actually got to get those T-shirts. It's a Brett thing, so. You know.
It's a Brett thing. Have you seen those?
No.
It's the most stupidest Facebook marketing. They just follow your name and then give you like this automated thing. Yeah. It's a Brett thing.
But have you seen how many they sell? It's like 18,000 gazillion million have been sold. It's a Michelle thing. It's a whatever thing. They've copied, but I was saying that Brett St. Clair is here, B3 Bomber, and you are the head of digital, correct?
Correct.
At Barclays or Absa or both? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, okay. where does Daddy work? I don't know.
He works.
It's not at Google anymore, and then they shut down.
Yeah. Oh, my dad was cool. Now he's a banker. There's a T-shirt, a bumper sticker. Huh? Can you see Brett's wife pulling into school with his kids? My dad was cool. He was at Google. Now he's a banker. And someone's going to come and cross it out.
I'm just glad there's a desk between us all. This is really fun.
Hey, I said it was going to be a threesome.
But the real question is, how's the bot?
The bot's doing well. It says hi.
Does it say hi?
It says hi.
So you've gone the storybot route?
We haven't gone the storybot route. We're building out all our machine learning at the moment. Okay. So it's pretty interesting.
No neural nets yet.
No, we're testing neural
nets. Testing neural nets.
It's very scary space,
guys.
It's really
cool. No,
you suddenly realize the real power.
I don't know what we're allowed to ask you or not allowed to ask you, but just say no.
Oh, I don't mind. You know, awesome I'll just say great. Anything.
That's great. No, not but it is really cool. I think having the bots and actually punting it the way you guys have done it makes it really understandable. Like we say on the Futurology show, we're trying to make it understandable to the layman. And not everybody understands. Like you say bot, and Brett was talking about being fourth in the geek competition last week. You only made it to fourth.
Hey, geek harder, that's pretty good. I don't have zits and braces and funny, bad, really bad hair. Yeah. I got bad hair, but
I'm
really bad.
Twazi, but that's another story. But the thing is, like, you can say bot, and everybody's going to be like, a robot? A traffic light? What are we talking about? But the understanding of the marketing is so important.
We have international listeners. We have international listeners. Only South Africans would say robots for traffic lights. So there wouldn't be a confusion there.
And they are the dumbest robots on the planet, right? They spend most of their time not going, look, I'm flashing.
Yeah. I have one color. I always seem to catch them as they're going red, yes. Especially in Cape Town. Cape Town hates me. The traffic lights on there.
Over there, they actually work. You actually have to stop. That's the problem.
Imagine if you did have a bot for a robot. So as you were coming
out, you
post it onto Messenger and say, I'm getting to the corner here. Please turn green. And then it goes, yes, and it turns green.
So we did a hypothetical POC around something like that, using something like Waze, this crowdsourced thing. Yeah. So when traffic starts to build up, the robots are then informed. And robots start to say, well, there's a lot of traffic. Let's start to be a little bit more green in this direction. And that would be super useful if we could get the people that control the traffic lights.
Good point.
To understand what Waze is first, and then what crowdsourced information is. And
it's funny that you bring that up. Because one of the topics that I had for today was, now that we're in the festive period, the police have said, please don't warn people about roadblocks, tracks, petrol, and social. Yeah.
Hide
so this is this is dinkum, hey? This is a message from the police to say, you're defeating the ends of justice, it actually is illegal, blah, blah, blah. Here's my message to the police. Stop being so fucking corrupt, and I won't warn people that there are corrupt people waiting for you around the corner. It's just that simple.
Please don't shut down on-ramps and off-ramps of highways.
Yes. Mm.
You Muppets.
I mean, you know what actually happened the other day? We had that, remember that storm we had? We had that massive storm where, I mean, it came down like a mofo. And all the robots on Main Road were out. So it took 40 minutes to get from the one to the bottom just to get stopped and pulled over for a license check. And I'm like, dude.
Like, have you seen the
chaos? No, wait. You haven't heard the response to this. This is classic. I'm like, dude, why don't you? It's a metro cop, eh? By definition, traffic cop. Why don't you do your job and go and actually, like, move people through the traffic? He says, why don't you Twitter utterance? That's what he tunes me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get arrested if I carry on
goodness
talking.
For big
so
corporate.
I just drove.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, why don't you Twitter? So it's tweet, you twat. But why don't you Twitter? Why don't you? Yeah. That was going to be my response. But why don't you Twitter utterance to come solve the problem? I'm like, why don't you do your freaking job? Anyway, so please, people, the police have asked nicely that you don't warn about roadblocks or traffic lights or speed cameras.
I'm sure the pig spotter said, sure, no problem, right?
He's
shutting down for the holiday.
Straight away, thanks.
It's great, I can take a holiday today.
And for all those people that don't want to listen to me, there's a great app out there called Waze. Hashtag just saying.
I didn't do anything, I just pushed a button. But that was one of the things. Sorry, I'm just coming back. Like, you B3, you shared a really cool thing on LinkedIn via Facebook and everywhere about the 50 big ideas for 2017.
How cool is that, eh?
One of them was social media getting more being held more accountable for things, which is very cool. So, I mean, there's all this controversy about freedom of speech, but yet you can't be a – what's her name? Somebody Sparrow?
Penny Sparrow.
Or someone's a Gareth Clip or anybody that actually says anything on social media. Heaven forbid you should say something that's a little bit inflammatory. But this idea of how safe it really is and where it's regulated, what are your thoughts on that? I mean,
the scale of this is the problem.
That's the thing. How do you regulate something that's so big?
I remember this is about 3-4 years ago at YouTube. And the film board came to YouTube, local film board, and said, okay, we'd like to put age restrictions on each of YouTube's videos.
And you said, yes, of course.
For sure. Done. Take this Excel spreadsheet
Here's an infographic.
And start working through it. And it literally is the scale of it. So like, you'll see a common theme coming through, which is all around the artificial intelligence, getting machines to work through and understand what the content's telling us and being able to form an opinion.
Mm.
And I think that's really exciting. I mean, imagine something listening to us now.
I saw they get it wrong. Because there's been a few of those now where the AIs have got it very wrong.
And I don't think it's until. I think they're going to get it wrong and wrong and it's going to be a hilarious 2017.
My bot was bad. Bad bot.
But then enter blockchain on a high level. So blockchain is going to get more involved in a social level rather than an institutional level.
I 100% agree with you because I think the blockchain in the banking, we all thought banking, blockchain, that's where it is. And it feels right. But there's so many compliance, regulatory hurdles that need to be climbed, and you've got to change all these policies. Whereas, let's apply it in the social mechanisms. Let's apply it in so many other applications across life that we've never really thought about where we could use blockchain. And blockchain's meant to be the next big thing to internet. I mean, everything's going to run on the blockchain. I don't know. Have you guys played around with Bitcoin? I actually bought some Bitcoin last year. Because
you must have made some money then.
I did. Yeah. I did.
Because it was 5,000 to 1 in April this year, and now it's 11,000?
I bought it about 5,000 in April because I thought, Nene Gate's going to happen again. I'm going to use this to leverage the
trading
rand.
At the bank, huh?
Literally, out of 40 grand, I made 16,000 rand.
Have you used it, though? Have you transacted? Have you gone and bought a beer with it or paid someone who made a donation? Or are you just holding it as an asset?
No. I just held it as an asset. But I do have friends who've been trying out those trading platforms as high-risk trading platforms in Russia.
Yes.
And, you know, high yield, I think they're called. You know, you've got to game the system on that side. But it was just amazing the simplicity of the transaction. Because there's no complex systems trying to facilitate the payment.
There it is.
It just happens. Because traditional payment is four different parties all double-checking each other, which is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And that's why banks, you know, run.
SMS, email, authorized double time.
I must tell you.
This is so annoying.
There are some of those, yeah. I don't have my phone with me. I'm on a computer, and I want to transact. And now it tells me to pick up my phone. And I got 59 seconds to do it. You know, I'm like...
Terrible. Isn't that one of the worst experiences?
I was having a great holiday until I had 59 seconds to do something. Damn it.
It's madness.
Isn't it crazy?
But now you're talking about AI and bots. Yeah. Do you remember Amy? I don't know if you ever listened to the show, but do you remember Amy? So I have a virtual assistant, Amy Ingram.
Yeah.
And she schedules my diary and my appointments and all that for me. Yeah. I got an email from Amy reminding me that the world's going into the festive season and how should she handle my emails and my appointments?
Sober.
Yes.
I'm going to reply like that. I haven't replied yet. There we go. Sober.
Guys, I've been playing around with, you know, I'm a big Google fan. I've been playing around with Hello.
Yeah.
And it...
Is it worth it?
It's unbelievable.
Really? No, you're not saying that now as an ex-Googler.
I know. I should be drinking. I've stopped drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay, it is good. Because you liked it.
Yeah, Allo's the one where you can see the person sort of phoning you.
Oh,
Duo?
No, that's Duo.
That's Duo. Okay.
So Allo is where you've got the Google Assistant.
Yes. Contextual aware stuff.
And it starts learning how you speak. Mm-hmm. So it starts prompting you with these buttons. So after a while, a lot of my responses are sweet with...
Lots of E's.
X E's. And it started working out how many E's I need to be putting in my sweet based on the response.
You have three options. Is it sweet, sweet, or
sweet?
It depends if you're at the rave or not and how many E's you're putting
or
in your system.
Or how hard you really push your screen, your force touch screen.
Sweet. So, you know, my only problem with Allo and everything else is it's another app that I have
to
get.
Yeah.
And like, if you're on it, you can't speak to me, so I'm not getting to see how sweet Allo is.
Yeah.
Then you send me a prompt to download. Then I mean, I have a folder on my phone called Social because I have WhatsApp, WeChat, PGM, Messenger, Facebook. It's too much.
Try build bots for that, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing.
That's the new application developer.
You didn't go into BlackBerry, did you? You didn't, really.
No.
But there's no bot for BlackBerry.
They are causing.
There's three users.
They're very excited. Yeah. They're very excited.
Are they?
Because you know BlackBerry is now just chat, right?
No. So they've done a deal with China to make hardware again.
Oh, I saw that.
They've made a deal. Yes. Because you know I love my BlackBerry.
I saw that.
They've made a deal. They are going to be doing hardware again in China still. So it'll obviously be some form of chat device. Yeah. And they've also done a deal with Samsung with Knox.
Yeah.
They run the back end on Knox. And they've done a deal with Ford, I think it is, for their QT, the stuff that goes on the cars.
But they've never lost their chain.
The operating system, yeah.
Yeah. So their OS is still very strong, but they have just done a license deal on hardware. Nokia has also done a license deal.
I was about to say. Talking about classic Nokia, I have
on
to admit,
Android.
When Nokia comes and relaunches on Android, I think that's quite hip and trendy, right?
Yeah. But
it's going to be the phone to have, right?
If they build
the Nokia 30 Snakes is going to be amazing.
Oh, Snakes! Come on, steroids, man.
But they have to build the way they used to build. It can't just be the Nokia brand. Nokia was always well built. The phone was
straight
well
resistant.
Built. It was everything resistant.
I used to bowl mine down the tube in London. The old 2110.
Oh, is that why you say mind the gap? I thought if he did, he's going to clog the train up.
It probably could. It broke. So they come out Q1, huh?
Yeah.
We see the Nokia, and we're going to see another BlackBerry, obviously Android, but
I'm quite excited. I think that's very retro.
But I mean, that takes me to CES. Okay. Mm. So CES is coming up in 2 weeks.
Are you going?
No, but I believe Arthur Goldstuck is.
Okay, well, at least
he's actually going to present. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. Go South Africa.
Dare we ask him to come join us?
I've tried a couple of times, and he's like always busy. So
let's all three of us ask at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, Arthur, come
join.
Maybe we should
what?
Mention it actually on Twitter. Let's just all do it on Twitter. We'll retweet. Arthur, if you're listening, if you happen to be listening, thank you, first of all. And then when you go to CES, please make notes, which you will do, and then come back and tell us what it was about.
Fantastic. There we go.
I'm going to take a call on CES. Nothing good's going to come out there except for more VR and sex toys. It's another screen, another phone.
I reckon the EHang 187 is going to be there again.
Well, I'm pretty sure that B1 and B2 are definitely going to be there if it's all sex toys, right?
Yeah, no. We're having our threesome today. We're getting out of our system now.
No, there was a conflict of fetish requirements between the two of us, and I don't think it was going to work.
I can't see sex toys and AI working together because after a while, the AI will learn what the guys like, and he'll be back into the position.
AI is going to realize that we're slaves. Actually, this thing could sex, and it doesn't actually need it, and then we're just going to be blockchained out of sex as well.
No, we've got
our wives are going to realize what blockchain is really useful for.
We've got a business opportunity here. Oh. We start revenge AI bots. While your husband's boning his secretary, your phone tells your wife, hey, just letting you know, he's hitting her harder than he hits you. Hashtag just saying.
Who's screwed now?
So, guys, next year, definitely, agencies are all going to build bots. It's going to be the thing. It's no longer apps. Yeah. It's bots.
I'm battling with the bots. Is it just that it's still so infantile? I mean, there's an app that I use that uses a bot every day to make a recommendation. And the recommendation's cuck.
So
it's just, I'm not enjoying it.
I just want to explain to the audiences what's just happened in the studio. It's gone black and white. It's got that same old film, ticker.
Yeah.
Because Brett's behaving like someone who was trying to understand what apps were about.
Oh, gosh. What I just want to explain to the listeners that Brett sits, B1 sits behind the desk and can turn off mics just like that.
Oh, no. Cool. So you're like our president. Awesome. Okay, we'll go blockchain somewhere else.
I know, I can't be. I can count. So,
blockchain radio.
It's just
early days, right?
It is, but the guys should maybe not be releasing at the rate that they are. They should rather be like almost have like bot school, you know, and figure it out.
But it's
like,
dad.
It's like, but it's open source, bro. It's that's the cool thing about open source is that if it's not there for everybody to play with, it doesn't develop as fast as it does. And if we don't play with it, we don't learn from it.
Now, so I think it should be so seamless to the experience in chat that when you say, hey guys, when are we going to go get a beer? It suggests a whole lot of beer locations and gives you a discount. Yes. And
but now, doesn't Allo do that? Isn't well, that's what Allo is all about?
Yeah. Well, contextual stuff. Yeah.
See, now that would be worthwhile for me to download that as an app.
If there was an audience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it goes back to the, sorry, Brett, goes back to the G Plus days.
Mm.
It was fantastic,
but
and
no one used it.
You know?
It's got to be relevant.
Mark Zuckerberg did.
he was just trying to play nice with him. You know, Zuckerberg had just been Google and Apple, you went Google, so. Yeah.
No, but like I was saying, the year of innovation has led us to a point where we've had a lot of digital devices and tech dropped onto us this year. And so my forecast for next year is going to be this year of experience via engagement. But I'm with you. It has to be seamless.
Yeah.
We want experience. We've kind of got to the idea that we've got digital things in our lives. Our minute-to-minute day is governed by what we can do on our devices. And if it starts to feel like we have to do more than we think we have to. If it becomes less frictionless than we were expecting, the experience is broken. And bots are starting to help with that idea where it's saying, listen, I've figured you might like something like this. So let me present it to you in a way that you, perhaps you will find appealing. I'm always going to ask the question as well, is where do marketers find their place with bots without framing the – it's not contextual anymore. It's very –
Yeah, I agree with you. I think marketing's in for a big challenge next year. I think we're still going to have the traditional media type positioning, but I think marketing becomes a product development engagement kind of platform.
Yeah.
How do we attract customers through those fantastic experiences?
Yes.
And I think that's where marketing's role is going to play a kind of big
role. I'm just smiling because I think you shared the clip, B2. With Google Home and Alexa, and
talking
you
to
push the button, say, what time is my appointment tomorrow? And it had been pre-programmed. It says, your appointment tomorrow, okay, Google, is 6 o'clock. So Google turns on and goes, what time is my appointment tomorrow? Okay, Alexa, it's 6 o'clock. And he says, but this is what's going to happen.
Like is that really the expensive Kirby's.
But think about it. You've got every single company, right? So your bank's got a bot, marketing guy's got a bot. Everyone's got a bot, but something glitches in the system, and they use the keyword that, you know, these bots are going to just be... It's not like when you see those things are hidden to the walls. But
you've got a good point there.
Yeah.
I think the next platform is voice.
It has to be voice. We're going to go back to voice.
You've got to be able to understand the user. You've got to be able to understand the text that you're going to feed back to the user. Personality. I mean, Christ, how do you design a personality?
Just to throw a spanner in the works on that one, did you see what Adobe launched at their Adobe Max event? So Adobe, the content creation wizards of the world, for the most part. Every indie producer's got Adobe. But they released this thing that comes with Premiere and Audition, I think even in After Effects now. It's this bot, if you will, but it's a plugin that actually analyzes your speech patterns, transcribes into text, but then you can take the text and you can type your own new paragraph and it'll make you say what I typed.
Boom. Wow.
So conversational.
Very cool.
So biometrics, kind of scary. Voice activated, cool. But I could crib you now with that. So like, it's nice that you've got all
that's
these.
That's why you need multi-layered coming biometrics in this.
Brett's going to be sending.
Guys.
Brett's going to be sending a message to the guys. Guys, can the voice program for first quarter next year?
We need to wrap it with voice, finger biometrics, a retinal scan.
Did you say retinal or rectal?
Rectal.
Sorry, I'll just.
What color jocks are you into?
Are you sitting on the phone or is it in your front pocket?
That could be quite a useful thing.
Oh shit.
We're going back to sex.
No, we got
to
stop.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so.
I can talk about head.
No.
So first, I had to say that. The first head transplant is being looked at for 2018. Okay, so not next year, the year after. This guy is going to have his head cut off and put onto a body. He's in a wheelchair. He's got no use of his body. And this Italian doctor reckons that he can do this procedure. And he's earmarking it for 2018. He's going to do a head transplant. That's pretty freaking freaky.
So the Simpsons are able to foresee what American politics will be like.
Yes.
And Futurama
has done the same thing.
Has done the same with tech.
And it's the same producers.
Of course it is.
We should get him on the show.
Yes, we should.
He's the true futurist.
So I actually watched the video on this. It was up on Facebook, I think. They cut the head off. So like you get your fresh body. So the body's from a car crash or whatever. They cut the head off. They stitch it on. Then they have to put you in a coma for 28 days so everything can like seal and you don't move and burst a vessel. And he reckons within 2 years you'll be walking. Everything will move and the nerves will have knitted and all this wonderful thing. But I mean, that's pretty freaky, eh? B2, you could finally be hung like a Roman god. You just got to find that body.
No, right.
Moving swiftly along.
That's Westworld to its next level.
I enjoy Westworld.
I enjoy Westworld.
Loved it.
I cannot wait for season two.
Is that where bots are going? Bots and AI. That's where they're going.
Bots, AI, and experience.
So yes. People haven't watched
Westworld.
So look
at what 2017
is about getting into that. It's a 1973 movie that it's based on.
Amazing.
Yes.
And it's Crichton, isn't it? It's Michael Crichton that did the book.
I think so, yes. The guy that did Jurassic Park. Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah. He
wrote that back then. We're not that far off, eh? I mean, it's pretty freaky, but I really enjoyed that series. I thought it was fantastic.
Goes back to Moore's Law. and how we all understand it, but we're not really planning against it.
Yeah.
And look how it's just caught up on us.
Yeah. No, that was, we weren't talking like about saying, it because it could be a spoiler.
How do you plan for something that is so huge? Like, I think Elon's got the right idea. Like, Elon Musk, like, let's jump on a ship and go to Mars.
Why not?
Well, he's put,
he's put the counter, huh? Yeah. 400 weeks or something. So that's what, 4 years? No, 8 years. 452, 8 years. He reckons 8 years. So what are we talking about? 2022? No.
20-something, yeah.
So we do the same thing when we launch a minimal viable product in the bank. We switch a timer on 8 weeks. That's quite a hectic timer.
Yeah, and you sit there watching it, right?
Every second. I better hurry up. Oh, we don't have enough time.
We were just saying, you don't really know how much stress you're under until you start seeing 59 seconds start ticking under. That 1 minute mark is kind of like still a little bit relaxing. 59 seconds is, okay.
Should have done something 100 weeks ago. Shouldn't have procrastinated.
I made a list of some of the losses that we had this year. And I mean, like people and apps and all that. So Arnold Palmer, that was quite a deal.
Some great people. Eh?
Prince, Dave Bowie, Muhammad Ali. I see Rickman went the other day, a couple of days ago. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but old Manuel from Fawlty Towers. Mm. You know, I don't speak English. Yeah. He went.
Saffron dude, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a hell of a year. Mm. Brexit.
Yeah.
Trump. I mean, those are losses. We lost the Guptas. I mean, they left the country. You know, we don't know what to do with ourselves. But then what was interesting on apps, do you remember Meerkat? We were talking about like another app. And Vine, Twitter canned Vine a couple of weeks ago. So it's been a weird year. I've left things out.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just been a very, very weird year.
Economies have been taking strain. Commodities under pressure.
But that's
the world's going crazy.
That's that sort of perfect storm, though, as well. I mean, you can't have all the innovation we've had if you didn't have all the chaos.
Correct.
I think there's
somebody's got to drive innovation.
There's
a lot
of necessity under it. I mean, wars drive new research and new information development and all that kind of stuff. But chaos, financial chaos, make people start to think different ways.
So the question is, what's going to drive a new form factor on mobile devices? We're all pretty bored of just slowly iterating the same form factor.
LG's made a move there, huh?
Yeah.
Have you seen their new, I don't know the model number, I know Greg's got it. Along the top of the phone is almost like what Mac's done on the touchpad.
Yeah, the touch.
There's a permanent bar that sits along the top of the phone. So even when your screen's off, if a message comes on, it's there. You tap it there. Your time is there. Everything stays. It's almost like a secondary screen within the phone. I saw 2 years ago at Mobile World Congress the double-screened phone. One was e-ink and one's colored.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that didn't take off, because that also makes sense. You know, that's another factor. You can read on the back of your phone, leave your messages on the back of the phone, or things that you need without actually having to pick up your phone.
But it might be exactly the same problem as when Nokia launched the first camera phone. And they put the camera on the front of the phone, and everyone laughed and said, "You fools!
Yeah.
Who would want a camera on the front of the phone? It's meant to be on the back of the phone. You meant to take photos of things."
Yeah.
How right did they call our society?
Yeah, that's right. And then, ironically, when they launched
the joke with it, you know why they call it a selfie? Because narcissicity is too difficult to spell.
And a hashtag. Their Mego, which was their version of Tizen, launched without a camera on the front.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, they're weird. Okay, here's the fun one. I think I shared this up on Facebook. Intel's Guinness World Record of 500 drones. Did you see that?
Oh, in those synchronized drones.
Yeah, one pilot, 500 drones, but it made the Intel logo, and it did something else. It made the 500, the number 500, and then the Intel logo with the loop around it, all controlled off the drones.
So, you know what? Why don't we do this?
Okay.
Let's get some sponsors together.
We still wait for you to sponsor the show. That's why you're here today. You thought this was free.
I'll work it. I'm working it. Sorry, I'll just leave my corp card here. But why don't we get a whole lot of guys together and let's redefine Guy Fawkes and Diwali.
Don't terrorize dogs.
Hey? Yeah.
That would be very
no longer.
Cool,
we're just droning it. Now we terrorize children. But I mean, you know.
We're going to drone on for a while. That would be cool, though.
No. That would be pretty cool.
Go
to Zoo Lake and fire up a 500 drones and do.
But there's still nothing better than setting someone on fire when the cracker goes wrong. I mean,
I don't know. Have you ever seen a drone hit somebody at high velocity?
I've seen drones hit walls every time I've tried to fly one of the damn things. But
or why don't we start a drone racing league? I don't know. Have you seen some of those videos?
I'm very keen for that. We've reached out to the drone racing league themselves.
Yeah.
And we're very, very keen. So if you guys are keen.
You were supposed to get them on the show.
Well, we've got, we've had them on the show.
The drone racing league?
Yeah, they chatted. I can get them on the show again. So we're chatting to them already.
Oh, we did.
We are chatting to them. And we've got the broadcast mechanics of it all worked out.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, sponsors. The thing that'll get these guys to come through is big prize money.
Yeah.
And VR.
Don't we given, yeah, let's
think
do
about
it.
The VR integration.
Yeah, so 2017.
Because you can actually watch it from home in VR.
And in VR.
Yeah, not watching just like eSport.
Boom.
Next level.
Well, VR would be tricky, but POV at least.
Yeah. I watched Henry, what's it called? Hardcore Henry the other day.
That's amazing, that POV movie. Have you seen it?
Just like a seasick.
It's the entire movie. It's a feature film length movie of all POV. So you are literally in this guy's...
Are we still talking about porn here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, no, hardcore. No, it's fighting. This oak just beats the shit out of everything and everyone and gets the shit beaten out of him. But
it's from a game.
I actually got seasick watching this movie.
Jeez.
Because it's shot POV and it's just skit and donda. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I have seen
Oak's clapping everyone
up. I watched about 20 minutes of it.
Yeah,
and then
he starts off with his arms being added, like a fake arm and a fake leg and...
That was hectic.
But it was... What I liked about it is that it's the first stab at it.
Yeah.
Give it a year or two. Let them refine the technology, maybe remove some of that motionless stuff out. And it would be quite cool. But I watched it. I persevered through it. But as I said, I felt a little bit green.
Can we push your list of things that died in 2016 to what we want to die in 2017?
Okay. Yeah, I like the future looking.
So the selfie stick?
Yeah. Please. Cool.
Okay.
If not the selfie stick, it's going to wipe out every single glass and every single nice table ever.
But the selfie stick's been banned in like Disney World and all that. Because Oak's like busy walking around and smacking people with it. And
All you do, if you go to the Colosseum in Rome and you have bought one of those €5 selfie sticks, all you're going to do is take a photo of yourself with a bunch of people in the background with selfie sticks, taking pictures of themselves, taking pictures of you while you all take a photo of
So we agreed. We're banning that. Right.
Selfie sticks.
That's great. What else?
3D movies in theatre.
Yes.
Why? I've got kids, so every bloody movie has
not
to be...
Not every theatre. The IMAX theatre is lovely. Like
the IMAX theatre, fine.
Put it into IMAX.
Experience.
So it's focused experience.
Because it's not 3D. You're right. Yes. They're doing it just to bring the kids.
With the sensory deprivation thingy on the side.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what the Oak's doing next to me.
I tell you what, though. I watched an IMAX movie the other day that wasn't in 3D, and it was still damn impressive.
Yeah.
The sound inside there, the screen... It was the Magnificent Seven. I was there with you.
Yes, that was good.
It wasn't
3D. And that love chair was amazing. That love nest.
Okay. Brett was there with his wife in the love chair.
Yes.
Okay, just to clarify.
Have you done that yet?
No.
Talk about experience.
Oh, like, yes, I have.
Now you get to have like this couch.
Are we talking about the couch now? What are you talking about doing?
Love nest.
Nesting.
In the Instacinicals
hashtag
and the new mattress.
Love nesting.
Yeah. When you bring a blanket to a movie.
Herb this sucker. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
I'm so glad there's
mine
no
always
visual
leans backwards to the right. I don't know why.
Yeah,
okay,
so
cool.
I agree. 3D movies, because they are there literally just to con parents
for
an extra $20 or whatever it is.
Spam SMS.
Oh,
it's never going anywhere.
I'm getting more spam than ever. Yes. I don't know what's happening. Like, I make sure I'm off every single list. There must be one person I've skipped and they've just sold it left, right,
Rico.
Center.
Yeah. It's because of Rico.
But you know, I must actually tell you, I had a funny one the other day. So they phoned me to say, you've been pre-approved for a cell phone contract. I was like, awesome. No, I said, awesome. And they weren't expecting that. I said, it's fantastic. What do I get? You know, like, I don't know, whatever they rattled off. Oh, fantastic. I said, you know, I've been unemployed for 2 months. And I mean, 2 years, and I got terrible credit rating, but...
This is exactly what I needed to turn my life around.
Yeah, so there's like silence. There's like silence. And she's like, no, you can't. I said, no, hold on a second. You said I'm pre-approved. Is this call recorded? Because I want to speak to your manager. You know, I promise
beautiful.
You now, I haven't been phoned for a cell phone contract. So obviously they shared it. This was about 3-4 months ago.
You go onto a list.
Phoned. Yeah, but even if you say no, you stay on the list. When you tell them you blacklisted... And unemployed, so you can't give them 3 months' pay slip or whatever. Thank you. I haven't had a call.
Have you tried to apply for credit since then?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, who are they sharing this with exactly?
Yeah. Shit. Maybe I'm not so clever. Well, at least I haven't been offered a phone, so it's fine.
I just make a future rich problem. Phone me in February.
Before.
So if you're talking about 3D... And it going.
Yep.
What else are we taking off that list?
It's a tough one.
I can replace 3D. I want to see VR ramp big time next year. It's not a fad. We know that.
I would really like to see prices falling, like on mobile data. I'd love to see that happening.
Well, Tebow and Gareth are trying to.
I know they're doing well,
but
like, I think it's a very admirable thing to go for. I think we've gotten to this point where connectivity to life is more of a necessity than a luxury, and I think we need to start providing that to
Maslow's
people.
Hierarchy, the new tech Maslow's hierarchy, sits at the base of it.
Correct.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to substantiate why I'm going to call VR for next year. VR was big for us this year, but I'm going to see where it's going to ramp up, and there's a few things that I came across now that have just been like teased. First of all, Nintendo filed a patent on VR. Now, they've just launched the Switch, and the Switch is, for those that don't know, it's like a tablet that goes with you, but it docks when you get home and becomes a console. And they filed the patent against the Switch. They're obviously looking to make a VR play there. Not that that's critical to the success of VR, but it's interesting. But what was very cool is the Koryak, okay? Coreyak. It's a VR rowing machine. So you sit there with a paddle. You put your phone
in. It doesn't work like that, by the way. Your hand actions were all wrong.
Well, it's radio. No one can see my hand actions, especially there. So, and you can imagine what those ones were. And if you didn't get it, it's one of these for you as well. So, but it's only $400.
The season again.
And you can have a proper VR experience rowing. So you can actually paddle and train and all that. That's quite cool. That is cool. That's bringing lifestyle.
What about bringing VR onto roller coasters?
They've done it.
You put it on, you go on a roller coaster with a totally different experience.
You go into a... They've done it.
You go left and it goes right.
No.
Your brain just breaks in half.
Your brain vomits and then you vomit.
They've done it, but not like that. You go on the normal roller coaster, but it puts you into a Star Wars or
very cool.
So you feel like you're moving inside the fighter.
So it uses the motion of the roller coaster.
I know some people are going to die. There are some people I know.
Well, if they're going to die, you're like my next one. Religion and meditation have become the next big play in VR.
Yeah.
Now think about it.
Escapism.
I mean,
that's what it's
you've got a church.
Yep.
You can't get everyone there, but now they can have a VR set and they can actually still participate. But the same for meditation. I know meditation's a solo thing, but people like they go to yoga and they go and they want to sit there in their groups. But not everyone wants to do that. They want to be on their own, but they still want to be with that big guru or whatever they call it, the Lami, the Dami, the Salami.
Dalai Lama is going to become a content producer, right?
That's the thing. Now you start paying for meditation. Because it's not just sitting there on your own.
It's no longer your tithe. It's now a content production.
But that's the thing. I mean,
keeps churches going.
And the big
age of experience is going to dictate that. Content's always been
pretty much
king.
You're talking about experience.
But it's kind of waned a little bit next to innovation of tech. It's like, how cool can we make the tech? And then content's trying to like, well, how do we fill this 4K, VR, AR? How do we make content for it? Everybody's going to be a great content.
So my last reference to it is WordPress, like as in the website.
They're making VR space.
They've made web VR.
So we've been playing with that for a while now as well.
But it's becoming really cool. It's becoming better and better. Yeah. I tried one the other day. The 360 video works perfectly.
Yeah.
And the VR, web VR is the open source engine that they're using.
The nice thing about it is that you can overlay sort of web hotspots. So your links within the web environment on top of an immersive
I didn't think of that.
Content. So... You're talking about things being seamless, like banking and operating systems and all that being seamless. Now the actual website itself is seamless because all you're doing is navigating through by looking at something long enough.
You've just solved the security problem for Brett.
Correct.
Think about it. Take your online banking, take keyboards out the way, put your virtual reality touch points. So your head's
your
here.
Virus scanner.
Blink once for yes. Blink twice for oh shit, I got something in my eye.
No.
But now you could move the button every single time and you still touch the login button virtually. So now it's here, then it's there. You know what I mean? So it's you're not key tracking.
Yeah, I'm not a bot. It
goes to that hyper-personalized experience.
Yeah.
Because imagine wherever your arms are.
Yeah.
You know, get the right height to what's more comfortable with you. And
sure, that's quite a...
So I think VR is going to have a huge play.
So will it be a branch experience? Or will it be a website? Maybe it's a branch experience.
You have to go into the branch and you
you're going into the
on.
Branch with your goggles.
Who the hell wants to go into a branch?
No, but a virtual branch.
Do you know what I want to do?
Okay.
Just put it on.
You sit in a chair
and you go in
and
you say, please draw me some money, da da da, and the money's up.
The roller coaster takes you to the teller.
It's full.
Hey? The roller coaster takes
Are you taking the piss out of me? Yeah, that's
right. So I've got this.
Weren't you on holiday?
This philosophy of engaging content is, for us, it's entertain, inform, and empower. Now, you can entertain stuff. Banking's not wholly entertaining. to give them something fun to do.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's awesome.
Every single time. I mean,
okay.
And it fits quite well because you have to queue for 3 hours to get onto the roller coaster.
And now you don't have to.
It's instant virtual gratification.
Okay.
And banking.
But it's not that far off because some company called Lumus, L-U-M-U-S, has just raised like $45 million to develop AR layers for use inside smart glass. So,
cool.
Like what Google did was totally innovative, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Timing was wrong, whatever.
Yeah.
The problem is also a lot of people wear glasses, so it doesn't work. These guys are saying, well, take the lenses, take the tech, put it in wherever you want to go, and then let us overlay that information on top. Now, that would also work for your banking or your any environment that you need to go in and engage with personal information.
But is that not taking an augmented reality view?
Yes. Yeah. No, it is an AR view.
Okay. You were talking about mixed reality.
It is more like mixed reality, but I would say that's more AR because you're actually overlaying through a fixed. Yeah. Mm. You can still see the world. You're not shut off on it.
I think AR is going to lead ahead of VR.
Well, Tim Cook thinks the same thing as well. And that's why he bought Mateo. Yeah. I mean, Apple bought and shuttered Mateo because they're obviously taking all their engines. Mm. And we're going to see. In fact, the iPhone 8
reality,
will probably. There's my call for 2000 and where are we? 16, 17. Is AR's iPhone 8 will be AR ready from the chipset without app.
Mm. Correct.
Well, that will be the game. You're talking now about game changes. And
from the Google one, Dream something.
Yeah. Daydream.
Daydream.
But
the Pixel. But that was VR.
But it's VR. Yeah. Correct. I'm saying that the chipset itself inside the iPhone 8 will play AR will overlay content for you.
And if it doesn't, they better be listening, and then it will.
And that's how your scale kicks in. Yeah. Anything that enters that chipset is where the scale starts.
That's where the next, that's the next play. Yeah, that's the next play. I don't know. What else have you got there, Brett?
So VRs are going to become very commercially available. So VR content, purely for gimmick. But I think the marketing guys are going to get into the gimmick of VR to try and get consumers to buy into it so that we can do something in 2018. You've got to sort of lay the foundation now. So you're going to see a lot of VR activation experientials and stuff like that, I think.
It's a bit like where that VR where you do 3D art. So I think it's going to be that kind of interaction where it's not maybe the experience, it's what you can do in the VR kind of space.
Sorry, you were going to say something before I...
I think we're going to see a huge drive in security. I think if you're bright enough to get into the security game and you're doing well at maths, if you want to safeguard your job for the next 10 years, cyber security. I mean, look at Yahoo now.
I'm waiting for that.
It was coming. poor old Marissa. I mean, what was it, a billion accounts? Poor lady. I'm getting hammered.
One WhatsApp hockey group and you just blast over.
It actually wasn't worth looking at, just saying. It really wasn't.
I think you told me that, son.
Yeah, it really wasn't worth looking at. But...
security is going to be a tough one.
You mentioned the e-hang, the single flyer drone thing. We haven't talked about self-driving cars. Surely that's the 2017 play. That's
totally
the big. I mean, Uber's basically given the finger to who told them to take their cars on the road. I think it was San Francisco. San Diego.
Yeah,
they're still doing it.
Yeah, they believe in breaking the law until the law changes.
Yeah. And Google is heavily invested in that. You know that better than anyone else. I mean, 10 years ago, you knew that.
Yeah.
And the other players, Mercedes-Benz, they now also Volvo. They're all
think
going
about logistics. They're all building trucks.
The trucks,
right?
Yeah. They did the delivery a few months ago.
I love the fact that first self-driving truck delivered beer.
Oh, that's classy.
What's the name? Otto.
Classy.
Otto, that's
Otto
right.
Otto the beer truck. So, but I think you're quite right. But
so does it just have taps on the side?
No, it literally just had shitloads of kegs of beer inside this big 18-wheeler. And one passenger just to make sure the handbrake worked when it parked. But the self-driving cars, that's one great thing that manufacturers are going to build from the ground up, a self-driving car. But what about retrofitting existing cars with the self-driving
capabilities? That is a fantastic question because that's my thing. If you look on the road now, especially in developing countries like ours, okay, there are 30-year-old cars on the road. I'm not talking about classics. I'm talking about people are using 30-year-old cars. They don't have the means to change it. Otherwise, they would have. Do we have a government subsidy?
I hope it's not like the Bluetooth adapters it used to buy when cars didn't have Bluetooth.
Maybe you plug it in. Yeah.
Plug it in and there's cables going everywhere.
But it is a good question.
You really hope you
have to have a tape deck. You have to have a tape deck in your car for it to work.
But that's it's a fantastic question actually because that is a big problem at this moment in time. there is 0.00001% self-driving cars.
Separate and lanes for self-driving cars?
Can't do that. We can't build more lanes.
Can't build more lanes.
Unless you're Elon Musk, in which case you're just going to build a machine that digs a hole and you're just going to put new lanes under it. Everything. You see that?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm not going to ask for permission. I'm going to build a machine that digs a hole and I'm going to dig. Because he hates traffic.
From his house to his work. He didn't mention that part.
Yeah.
It's just going to be one lane.
Yes, one lane. The Elon lane.
Yeah. But it's a really good question.
But actually, that is quite an interesting concept. You build underground tunnels specifically for these uber-rich people.
It's called a helicopter. They fly above ground.
But you just shoot them along.
Yeah, except when you have my house is here and your house is over there and it has to intersect. And then the bots are talking to each other.
And there's a storm.
Billionaire Bob drowned on his way to work underground.
Left the door to his garage open.
He just parked in the cloud and that was it.
So the one thing I came across, now Gartner is a friend of the show, a friend of the station, and they've sponsored our show as well. They did 10 predictions. They say 10 predictions for 2017 and beyond. And most of these actually aren't 2017. They're more like beyond. Like the first one was 2020. But going back to what we were talking about, like with your virtual shops and that, they reckon that by 2020, 100 million consumers will shop in augmented reality. That's what they're saying. So they said by the end of 2017, 1 in 5 leading global retail brands, or 20%, will be using AR as an integral technology supporting the shopping experience. Now, it frustrates me when I read this shit because we've been trying to do this for years. Now, why all of a sudden now?
Because we were using the word virtual store or virtual mall or something. And at the time, everybody thought it was those like really lame CAD drawings that just kind of like, remember Wolfenstein 3D early days. Mm. Like that was everybody's expectation when you said that.
Yeah.
And because of that, there was such a stigma in that period that it took, I think it's dying out now, but I think that was why, those virtual stores and this virtual shopping, everybody's got that in their brain.
So yeah, let me lead on for that. By 2020, 30% of web browsing will be done without a screen. Okay, you were talking about voice just now, Brett. So they're saying that Apple's AirPods, Google Home, Amazon's Echo, you know, all these things are all voice driven.
Yeah.
So you don't need the screen.
Yeah.
So 30% is a big number.
But you think about the cost. It is a low cost processing units with a microphone and some Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be, and your phone has all of that, by
the way. Yeah, I've talked about Tribi. I love my Tribi, my little device at home. It's Alexa powered.
Yeah.
Now, number 3 on their list, which I love because I've been saying this for a while and I did call it for next year. They said that by 2019, 20% of their brands will abandon their mobile apps. Brett, we say this all the time, hey? B2.
Yep.
The apps are dying. I remember when we walked around with .mobi. Back in those days, then we moved to app. App was everything, but no one wanted to build it. Then everyone had to build it. And now we're saying we don't need to build it. And we don't. And that goes back to your bot voice. Yeah. You don't need an app.
So,
I do have actually quite a strong view on it, whether it's a don't need. I think if the channel, if you look at it from a channel point of view, is vital for you to allow your customers to use your service or you conduct your business over that channel,
yeah,
then it's super important.
Yes.
And I look at it from a banking point of view.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, the secure aspect as well.
USSD, still very powerful. Dying, yes.
Yeah.
But
not so much in Africa as quickly as everywhere
3 million users on it. App, yep, still very important. And I do agree. Do you need to invest in it heavily? Probably for the next year or two, but actually,
not really.
Got to get into this chat, yeah, into this voice space, because if you aren't mature
the conversation,
in 2-3 years time,
you've got to get into the conversation.
You got beautiful, isn't that a lovely hashtag?
Get into the conversation.
In fact, maybe that's another thing I'd like to see drop. Hashtag whenever we say anything interesting.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
How will we ever find anything?
How about
will find it for us?
There we go.
What is the point of convergence? Like, I think the first time you and I met was like end of 2012, 2013.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big thing then was mobile convergence. Everything was moving.
Correct.
FNIs, MVNOs, everybody saying, call the phone. And everybody was debating or battling over who owns the client. Where is it going now? We have wearables. We have viewables. We have our ubiquitous tech. Where is it going?
I hate to say this word.
IoT. Oh, yeah, no, it's massive.
And it's massive, but everyone's talking about it. It's really trendy.
The internet.
And everyone's going, wow, everything's connected. But what I'm not quite seeing yet, and we're putting a lot of thinking from a financial point of view, is what is the impact to our business model?
Can I tell you? There's the prediction. So there's two on IoT. So through 2020, IoT will increase data center storage demands by less than 3%. Okay? So they're not going to put strain on it, what they say.
Correct.
But to answer your question,
tiny data.
By 2022, it will save consumers and businesses $1 trillion a year in maintenance services and consumables. That's where IoT comes in.
And we won't see it till 2 years later when everything's going to come down.
No, 100%. But that's where IoT comes in, is that you're talking about bots, but now between a bot and an IoT sensor doing the work, you don't need the human being. Correct. You don't need to drive. The human being doesn't need to drive to go and fix what he or she needs to do and so on. $1 trillion a year by 2022.
Do you know what I like about that type of prediction is that it's kind of making sure that the expert's going to have its place. Experts are going to make a comeback in a big way. You have to be a specialist. You have to be a professional. You have to know what you're talking about. It's everybody will create some sort of connectable thing. They're going to have an idea, a connected door handle, connected light switch, yeah. A connected clock, whatever you might want. But where is the place for it to be used? That's where the solution lies. And you're going to need experts to understand how to connect those dots.
I totally agree with you. And I can see, you know, I was big into the microjobbing stuff. Mm. You know, money for jam. Love that whole concept. But you start seeing how the mundane is now done. So it's left with humans doing the expert stuff, but in a very different way. It's an around the clock for certain types. So, you know, we're going to have to change how we work, change how we pay people.
Yeah.
I think we're even going to have to relook at our capitalistic economic models, right?
Yep.
I mean, you look at
Trump, that goes back to your algorithms and all that as well. When you actually start relying on the data and the intelligence as opposed to just because he said so, you know.
It's going to change everything. I don't think the financial services are going to be able to support this new economy.
And that's coming from someone in the financial services industry. Yeah.
The financial backing will follow the need rather than the need going to the financial institutions asking for the help. So, I think innovation is going to be unbridled. It's going to be completely let loose, but it's going to be focused due to necessity again. So we've created this perfect monster. Now we need to sort of tame it and say, hey, dude, let's try and get some planning in place, because I think there was one of your predictions for 2015 that you shared with us was we've kind of broken the internet and we need to try to get it back together. And it's that kind of thing. I think there's a lot of worry in the world. I think things like Brexit, things like Trump, things like where are we going and the financial crisis. Everybody's worrying. Because of worry, everybody needs to try and soothe that worry. And solutions are going to help that. So it's going to be about directing big process, taming the beasts. I think there's a lot of beasts come out of 28.
We're getting to the top of the hour. Yeah. One quick question. Yeah. Wearables. What do you think?
I think...
Are they going to be around still? Are they going to get better? Are they going to get worse? Are people losing their love?
So Elon Musk did a great interview with Code about 4 months ago, and he was talking about a challenge that we got as human beings around artificial intelligence, and that we use the wearables and the sensors to measure everything. But as humans,
we need to interpret that.
We need to interpret it. So we great at consuming, like our eyes, our high dev, our ears. Well, there's no technology matching what our senses are.
Yeah.
And that's seriously incredible artificial intelligence from a human perspective. He's got a great view on what our output is like.
Mm.
Our output is still analog. We use our thumbs.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's true though. Yes.
So I think sensors are going to go a long way to help the output of a human in this artificial intelligence space.
For sure.
I just got the finger.
Yeah. So, festive finger. Yep.
Yeah. It was a festive finger this time. So we're at the wrap. It's mad, huh? I think Brett, you said to me, we're going to chat about it. I said, don't worry. It's going to go so quickly. B2.
Yeah, I think we've spoken about a ton of stuff as we always do when the three of us are together. But it's going to be a point of how do we keep it simple? And in order to keep it simple, you kind of need to understand it to some extent. So rather than just running at things, I think we need to take stock of where we are, take stock of where we want to be, and try and build that roadmap to success by keeping it simple and making sure that it's accessible, scalable, controllable. Is that possible? we'll wait and see. But I think let's try and keep it simple, people.
I like that. Keep it simple. And I think the most important thing is have a safe and good festive season. I mean, we want everyone back next year.
Yeah.
B3 Bomber, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I just have to quickly say this, Rich,
before I really get nailed. My very first show hosting Futurology was with you this time last year.
Hey.
So we've done a full circle.
Happy anniversary.
Yes. Did you buy me flowers?
And hopefully it's not 6 months before we see you again.
No, definitely not.
Join us early in the new year. We'll talk about with Arthur. We can get him into the studio. And we can
Fantastic. Right, thanks, so I'm gonna call it.
We're done. So happy, happy, ho, ho, and all those good things. Until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny. CliffCentral.com.